This is the testimony given by John. Who are you? Amen. Good morning, good people of grace. Blessed third week of Advent. As we are growing close to the incarnation, to the celebration of God's choosing to be with us in the flesh, as we are moving toward the time when we welcome Jesus back into our lives again, we have lit the third candle and the anticipation grows within us for this light to be reborn. Our scripture prepares us for this new birth, for the new light to emerge with this question: who are you? This is the question that the priest asked John in the midst of the wilderness: who are you? When my daughter was little, she attended a preschool in West Asheville that was walking distance from our home. So often on nicer mornings, we would set off for preschool on foot through the streets of West Asheville. Almost daily, we would encounter a man, dark-skinned, tall, with a trash bag over his shoulder full of all of his belongings. This man would walk up and down Haywood Road every day with a long gait and a loud voice. He would yell words that to us passing by were nonsensical and often fairly offensive. My daughter, each time we encountered this wild man on the streets, would say, "Mama, who is that?" And I would always reply, "I don't know, sweetie, I don't know him," as we moved a bit to the side to avoid his path. Who are you? When we opened the doors of Kairos West, the ministry we began in 2013 that I spoke to you all about several weeks ago, when we opened those doors and began to serve free hot coffee, a lot of people I didn't know came in. As I said before, they came in for the coffee or the free space, but they stayed because they had a place to invest their gifts and they saw a decent return. One day, the wild man with the trash bag over his shoulder who walked the streets yelling stopped walking and just stood at the open doors of Kairos West. For weeks, every day, the wild man would just stop at our open doors and linger there, sometimes for hours and not say a word. For weeks, we moved about him, coming in and out of the open doors, greeting others and serving the free hot coffee. On Thursdays, we served a free lunch with 12 Baskets Cafe. It was a shared meal open to anyone. This meal was not about serving food to the needy, but was a shared meal that was about relationship. A time when the barriers to being in relationship with people we didn't yet know were removed. A time where the way was made straight to be in relationship, because the meal was free and our doors were open to everyone. One Thursday, the wild man stepped inside the open doors and just sat on the couch. He didn't speak to anyone, and he murmured under his breath, and he seemed a bit anxious, but he sat. The deacon offered him food, but he shook his head no. He only sat for a minute and then got up abruptly and left the building. The next week, he came back, and this time he sat on the couch, and when we offered him food, he took it. He ate quickly and then went back to walking the streets. After that day, when the man ate lunch on the couch, something changed. That shared meal changed something for him and for us. Every day after, he began to speak a little bit more to us, and while speaking, we learned each other's names. His name was Thomas. Now, every day when Thomas came in to Kairos West, we would all shout, "Good morning, Thomas!" And he would smile and sit on the couch and drink his coffee. At Kairos West, our motto was, "We do what we can, when we can." We were not a shelter. We were not a nonprofit organization that offered direct services or gave out things to the needy. But because Thomas, who had been walking the streets of West Asheville with all of his belongings, was now a person that came into the community space daily, and because he had become known to his community, there was opportunity to remove some of the barriers in Thomas's path in his life. Because he was now known, a path was made straight for some solutions to the injustices in his way. A case manager from Homeward Bound, who also ate lunch with us at 12 Baskets, was able to meet Thomas at the shared meal. Eventually, because Thomas was becoming more and more comfortable there, eventually the case manager was able to actually speak with Thomas. And because they were now in relationship, the case manager was able to help Thomas find housing. All of that happened because we came to know who Thomas was and who Kairos West was. "Who are you?" they asked. John was a traveling preacher, a lone voice clothed in camel's hair, a man eating wild honey and locusts, a man proclaiming the coming of the Lord and calling people to repentance, to change direction. The crowds that this man John had been gathering were growing larger and larger, and those in power in Jerusalem were growing more threatened. So they sent priests to inquire, and the question they asked John when they arrived was simple: "Who are you?" So John confesses, "I am not the Messiah." John says, "I am not Elijah." John says, "I am not a prophet. Who are you?" Our gospel opens today with these words: "He was a man sent by God. He was not the light. He was called to testify to the light." In those days when a king went out into the land with any message, there was sent before him another man that would travel the same path and send back a message to the king and warn them about any dangers on the path. The man sent before the king had one job: to clear the path of danger, to clear the path of any barriers so that the king could travel safely and deliver his message. That man sent before was not the king, but prepared the way for the king. The gift of John was that he knew exactly who he was and who he was not. John says to the priests, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the path of the Lord.' Who are you?" I wonder, how did John know with such clarity who he was? I wonder this because it seems to me that John knowing who he was is what allowed John to do the work God had called him to do. Knowing who he was allowed him to be who God called him to be, the one who cleared barriers out of the way for the Lord. And so as we prepare for the coming of the Lord, the celebration of incarnation, the birth of Jesus, we are being asked the same question: who are we? This discernment about who we are is crucial. It is crucial because, like John, during this season of Advent, we are people called to make straight the path of the Lord. We too are called to remove the barriers along the way for our King, who, as our Hebrew scripture proclaims, is the Lord who loves justice. In Bible study, when we asked this question, how did John have such clarity about who he was? Anne simply stated, John knew who he was because he was in relationship with Jesus. He knew who he was because he was in relationship. Yes, John knew who he was because he was in relationship with Jesus, with the crowds that came to be baptized, with the Jewish priest, and with Rome. Who John was and what he was called to do to make the way straight for the Lord was clear to him because he was awake to the world around him and because he was in relationship with God and his neighbor. John was a voice in the wilderness calling out the truth. John was calling out hypocrisy and sin within the Roman government, within the religious systems, and within each person that came to be baptized. The wilderness for John was a choice, and in it he called people to repent. In the wilderness, John was calling people to remove any barriers from their lives that would keep them from being able to hear Jesus and his message of peace and justice. John was calling people to change direction because he was witnessing the sin of the empire of Rome and of those who were oppressing the people. This is who he was, and he knew it because he was in relationship. Who are we? We are also people called to remove barriers from the path for the Lord who loves justice. Now, while Thomas was not yelling, "Repent, repent," on the streets of West Asheville, his presence was prophetic. While Thomas was not speaking about sin or the barriers to peace and justice, his life was clearly an example of the consequences of a broken society. And while Thomas never told us at Kairos West what we should be doing to make the path straight for the Lord who loves justice, by knowing Thomas, by being in relationship with Thomas, we at Kairos West came to know more deeply who we were and what we were called to do. By knowing Thomas and seeing the consequences of a broken society, we came to know we were called to do more than give him free coffee or a place to rest, but that as his community, we were called to ask the tough questions of why his life had become so isolated and why he lacked basic resources and care within a community that seemed to have an abundance. By being in relationship with Thomas, we heard the resounding voice calling us to change direction, to advocate for the well-being of all people, and to remove the barriers of injustices that stood in their way. The relationship with Thomas was one of mutual transformation, because while, yes, his path was made a bit straighter and he found housing from Homeward Bound and care at Kairos West, we were transformed by his prophetic presence, and we came to know ourselves and our work and God more deeply through him. And this became who we were. This became a part of our larger work, all because our doors were open and we entered into relationship with those God sent us. So, Grace, how are we called to make the path straight for the Lord? How are we called to remove barriers to the way of the Lord who loves justice? In Grace's holy conversation and your church assessment over this past year, you discovered that Grace longs to be a true outreach church. And on our website, we define that as a desire to direct the wealth of talent and treasure at Grace toward helping and advocating for safe and affordable housing, for enough food for everyone, for affordable and adequate health care, for sanctuary for those living in fear, and for respect and equity for all. That sounds like a plan to remove the barriers and make straight the way for the Lord. So for the past several months, we have been hearing from different voices crying out in the wilderness about creation care, about housing and homelessness, about racial equity. We've invited these voices to Grace because it is through relationship that we will come to understand more deeply how we are called to engage this work you have named as a priority. In order to be in relationship, we must listen to the voices crying out in the wilderness. We, as a people, will also have to travel out to hear the prophetic voices among us. Traveling out will mean we have to risk the wilderness and the unknown there. The wilderness for John was a choice. Likewise for us, the wilderness is also a choice. Where are you being called into the wilderness? And who are you being called into relationship with? For us to know who we are and what we are called to do, we must have the courage to travel out and be in relationship with those we do not yet know. And then when we hear the words and witness the prophetic presence there, when we can together remove the barriers to relationship, then who we are and our work will be clear to call out to Jesus, "We have cleared the way. Come, Lord Jesus, come with your message of peace and justice, because truly that is who we are, those called, sent out to make straight the way of the Lord." Amen.